Listen to this voice. It calls to young people, a voice that's been telling them that their dream world is real, telling them that for decades.
Some mornings, I wake up crying without knowing why. That sort of thing happens now and again.
Whatever the dream was I had, I can never remember it. But...
the only thing that does last when I wake up is a sense of loss, which lingers for a long time afterwards.
This is the opening sequence of Your Name from director Makoto Shinkai, already the highest-grossing anime film of all time, currently raking in over $330 million worldwide before hitting U.S. theaters this week, where it has a nearly 97% Rotten Tomatoes score. A teenage boy in Tokyo swaps bodies with a teenage girl in the countryside. They discover love and a futuristic cathedral of time travel. This anime movie is so big that the director said back in December, quote, "It's not healthy. I don't think any more people should see it." The director and film Your Name, in a way that is both universal and uniquely Japanese, has struck an international chord for this style of filmmaking. There's been a rise in interest for anime here in the U.S. since the 9/11 attacks. Susan Napier is professor of Japanese studies at Tufts University and author of Anime from Akira to Howl's Moving Castle. She believes anime speaks to the world without losing its Japanese character.
I think that anime is the easiest thing to say is, yes, it's Japanese animation, but there are certain kinds of aesthetics and a kind of background and tradition that Japanese animation is coming from that's quite different from Western animation. And I think it's one reason why it's so distinctive. And it doesn't appeal to everybody, but the people it appeals to, they really, really love it because it's speaking to something in them that they don't get in Hollywood animation.
The Japanese have a sense that their story is unique. And I'm wondering if anime reflects that in a sense, that it is a national, almost religious story, but it's a fable for the world at the same time.
Exactly. I always say, I teach a course on, several courses on anime, and one of the things about anime is it's both very culturally specific. It has a kind of feel, an emotional depth to it that is, we could say, very Japanese. In particular, there's a term from Japanese poetry and philosophy, mono no aware, the sadness of things. There's a sense of the transience and the lyrical beauty of life that is beautiful precisely because things don't last. And that's very Japanese. But at the same time, the things that anime talks about, and it does or expresses, and it does it more in depth than, say, a Disney or a regular Hollywood film would do, are things that everyone can relate to. Love, loss, trauma, just a coming of age, all these things that really appeal across a global audience.
Miyazaki, who is such a famous director, who in many ways, Makoto Shinkai is, he follows in the footsteps of, took on stories that were everything from whimsical childhood imagination to the nuclear attacks at Nagasaki and Hiroshima. What did Miyazaki achieve, and what do you think Shinkai could possibly achieve with this new film, Your Name?
Whoa, that's a big question. Maybe I should mention that I literally just finished a book on Miyazaki, so I could go on and on, but I'll try not to. What did Miyazaki achieve? I think he was able to, first of all, gorgeous imagery, and incredibly immersive world building, which I also think, of course, Shinkai does as well, and a willingness to show young people, in Miyazaki's case, particularly children, in very difficult and often traumatic situations, which they deal with, and they show resilience and enthusiasm. It is a vision of a complex world that is both beautiful and terrifying and sublime and disturbing that young people can navigate. And I would say that's also very true with Shinkai. I mean, they're very different directors. I think you're right that Shinkai can be seen as a successor to Miyazaki in that he has the kind of quality of originality that Miyazaki has. What's interesting with Shinkai, as opposed to Miyazaki, is that he's dealing particularly with adolescents and young people in their 20s. I think it's one reason why Shinkai in this latest film in particular are doing so well with young adults, because he really is kind of expressing and conveying some of the difficult emotions of growing up, of going from adolescence into adulthood, and the loneliness and the fears and the insecurities, and also yet these wonderful rich moments of discovery and epiphanies that happen when you're young, and they're so exciting.
Your Name is full of fear. It's full of a kind of teenage, almost using this idea of body swapping the same way as you swap files online. It very much imagines a young people's kind of culture of K-pop and digital virtualness. But Shinkai also seems to be afraid of success at the same time. Why would you say, I don't think any more people should see this, the highest grossing anime film of all time?
Well, I think, first of all, I love your point about the swapping files and how they swap bodies in a way, not totally easily, but with less sort of shock and horror than you might expect. And you're right that there is a sense of the virtual as being very, very close to our reality kind of all the time. But why would Shinkai not want people to see the film? I think that's partly modesty. I think in Japan there still is a high value placed on not kind of talking yourself up, on not kind of bragging all the time. I also think in Shinkai's case, he sounds like a very decent, somewhat shy person. And at the same time, he wants to show his beautiful work and express himself. But yeah, it must be a little bit shocking to have this kind of global reception. I'm sure that the success can seem like a two-edged sword to someone as thoughtful and as philosophical as he is.
How does anime liberate you as a person who studied it for 20 years?
Wow, nice question. It allows me to go into an alternative reality that is incredibly immersive. I think animation in general, and anime in particular, is such a really kind of like a dreamlike other world that at the same time is logical and seamless once you walk into it. I think that animation as a medium offers you a different kind of reality. And it's very, very appealing and alluring. And I think it's not just me, but I see my students too, that it seems in some ways, I have one book in which I interview anime fans, and so many of them say it's more real than Hollywood, or it's more real even than real life. And what I think they mean by that is they get into this alternative world in which you can kind of perform and process things in a different way than you do in the kind of detritus of reality. And so anime offers you maybe a therapeutic tool because of it's often magical or beautiful or fantasy, that you can deal with difficult things at arm's length in a more comfortable way than you would with a more realistic live action work. And I think that this is why animation and fantasy and science fiction so often go together, because they're giving you reality, but it's a little bit displaced. So it's a little bit more comfortable to deal with your own difficult issues and reality, but by kind of seeing them in this more fantastic, often more beautiful space.
Susan Napier is professor of Japanese studies at Tufts University, author of Anime, From Akira to Howl's Moving Castle. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
So what entertainment have you sampled through the growing screens and the digital window on the world?
This is Kate. I'm calling from Denver. I have an interest in Japan, and lately I've been enjoying content from Japanese and expat bloggers on culture, fashion, social issues, etc. I love how this entertainment medium lets me in on the lives and experiences of regular people all over the world.
Hi, John. This is Ryan from Minnesota. And I actually got into Indian pop music, of all things, from the digital age. I saw a Dollar Mindy song used in a meme once and looked him up and found out I really liked Indian pop music.
From Erie, Pennsylvania, I've discovered Iranian cinema. I also watch UK TV and a lot of Scandinavian films. Thanks so much for listening. Weigh in on anything you heard today. Call us at 8778-MY-TAKE or send us a tweet at The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.